Welcome back to another episode of Sleep Whispers. I'm Harris, and this is a podcast of whispered ramblings and whispered readings to help you to relax and fall asleep. This is episode number 83, and it's a Whisperpedia episode about the classic TV show Gilligan's Island. If you are enjoying this podcast and want to express gratitude for past episodes and help support future episodes, then please do check out my Patreon page. You can support this podcast with a $1 pledge or more if you like. And you can jump to my Patreon page by using the link in the show notes of this episode, or just go over to patreon.com and search for Sleep Whispers. Alright, so why did I choose Gilligan's Island for this Whisperpedia episode? It was suggested by Monica. So thank you, Monica, for this great suggestion. I had not done an episode about a TV show yet, so I liked the idea of doing an episode about a TV show. And Gilligan's Island was one of my favorite TV shows. Now, it's pretty old. So, if you've never seen this TV show, then it's a lot like the TV show Lost. So both shows involve a bunch of people with very different personalities who are stranded on an island, and they struggle to get along with each other, and as well, many strange and bizarre things happen to them. Now, of course, the big difference is that Lost is more of a drama, and Gilligan's Island is a goofy sitcom. Some of my favorite memories about Gilligan's Island, or moments I remember, are them using coconut phones. At least in one episode, they had a golf cart that was built out of bamboo. There was an episode where a Russian astronaut landed on the island. An episode with a World War II mine washing up on the shore. And then the episode that I think I remember the most is one where they ate seeds from this plant hear each other's thoughts. And that led to a lot of problems. So if you've never seen Gilligan's Island, and you want to watch some episodes, or you want to watch them again if you've already seen some, I've found some episodes on YouTube. So you can search YouTube and you'll find some episodes. So that's one way to watch them for free. And then you could also pay to watch them on Amazon Video or iTunes. All right, here are some questions which will be addressed as I read to you about Gilligan's Island. What is the general location of the island? What was Gilligan's full name? How did Gilligan and the skipper know each other before being on that boat? Was the professor actually a professor? Which actor had it in their contract that no close-ups would be shown? Which actor often clashed with the producers? Did they get rescued in the last episode? And then I'll finish up with a nostalgic tour of common themes and plots from the episodes. Okay, let's get to it. The following are select sections from the Wikipedia article titled Gilligan's Island. The first section is a summary of the TV show. Gilligan's Island is an American sitcom created and produced by Sherwood Schwartz via the United Artists Television. The show had an ensemble cast that featured Bob Denver, Alan Hale Jr., Jim Backus, Natalie Schaefer, Russell Johnson, Tina Louise, and Don Wells. It aired for 3 seasons on the CBS network from September 26, 1964 to April 17, 1967. Gilligan's Island followed the comic adventures of 7 castaways as they attempted to survive the island on which they'd been shipwrecked or stranded. Most episodes revolve around the dissimilar castaways' conflicts and their unsuccessful attempts for whose failure Gilligan was frequently responsible to escape their plight. Gilligan's Island ran for a total of 98 episodes. The first season, consisting of 36 episodes, was filmed in black and white. These episodes were later colorized for syndication. The show's second and third seasons and the three television movie sequels were filmed in color. The show received solid ratings during its original run, then grew in popularity during decades of syndication, especially in the 1970s and 1980s, when many markets ran the show in the late afternoon after school. Today, the title character of Gilligan is widely recognized as an American cultural icon. The next section is about the island. The premise of the TV show is that a two-man crew of the charter boat SS Minnow and five passengers are on a three-hour tour from Honolulu and then run into a tropical storm and are shipwrecked on an uncharted island somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. The island was close enough to Hawaii to clearly pick up Hawaiian AM radio transmissions on a portable receiver. The location given in the series varies. In the first season episode, X marks the spot. The radio warns that the Air Force will test launch an armed missile to strike a location near 140 degrees latitude, 10 degrees longitude. Note, this is an impossible location. Latitude goes only up to 90 degrees, which is at the poles. The skipper calculates this as their island's location based on their starting point when the storm hit before they, quote, drifted for that 3 days with the prevailing western current, unquote, meaning the deadly missile will hit the island. Later in the first season, the episode Big Man on Little Stick has the professor giving the position as approximately 110 degrees longitude and 10 degrees latitude. In the third season episode, The Pigeon, the island is placed about 300 miles or 480 kilometers southeast of Honolulu. The next section is about the cast and the characters they played on the TV show. Bob Denver is Gilligan, the inept, accident-prone first mate, affectionately known as Little Buddy by the skipper of the SS Minnow. Bob Denver was not the first choice to play Gilligan. Actor Jerry Van Dyke was offered the role, but he turned it down, believing that the show would never be successful. He chose instead to play the lead in My Mother the Car, which premiered the following year and was canceled after one season. The producers looked to Bob Denver, the actor who had played Maynard G. Krebs, the goofy but lovable beatnik in the many loves of Toby Gillis. None of the show's episodes ever specified Gilligan's full name or clearly indicated whether Gilligan was the character's first name or his last. In the DVD collection, Sherwood Schwartz states that he preferred the full name of Willie Gilligan for the character. Denver, on various television and radio interviews, said that Gil Egan was his choice. The actor reasoned that because everyone yelled at the first mate, it ran together as Gilligan. In the unaired pilot episode, whether Lovey Howell refers to Gilligan as Stewart or Steward is unclear. On Rescue from Gilligan's Island, the writers artfully dodged Gilligan's full name when the other names are announced. Little is revealed about Gilligan's past, except his occasional reference to best friend Skinny Mulligan, and a one-time reference to his older brother. Alan Hale Jr. is the skipper slash Captain Jonas Grumby, the captain of the SS Minnow. Alan Hale Jr. was a longtime actor in B-Westerns and the look-alike son of Alan Hale Sr., a legendary movie character actor. Hale so loved his role that, long after the show went off the air, he still appeared in character in his Los Angeles restaurant, Alan Hale's Lobster Barrel. Although the skipper was a father figure to Gilligan, Hale was only 14 years older than Denver. Gilligan pushed the skipper out of the way of a loose depth charge when they were both serving in the United States Navy. Skipper is a World War II veteran and served in the 7th Fleet. In one episode, he describes his participation in the Battle of Guadalcanal. In the episode, they're off and running. Ginger is reading from a horoscope magazine and asks the skipper his birthday, to which he responds, May 5th. In moments of exasperation, the skipper would swat Gilligan on the head with his cap. Just as often, the skipper endearingly called Gilligan Little Buddy. While everyone else called him Skipper, the Howells usually called him Captain. In addition, Hale wore his Skipper outfit when four other Gilligan Island cast members and he appeared on a few celebrity Family Feud shows. Jim Backus is Thurston Howell III, the millionaire. Backus was already a well-known character actor when he took the part. The origin of the super-rich Howell character dates back to 1949 radio, when Backus portrayed Hubert Updike III on the Alan Young Show. Also, in the inaugural 1962 to 1963 season, episode 31 of the Beverly Hillbillies. Backus basically plays the same character, this time as the eccentric millionaire, Martin von Rasselhoff. In the classic 1963 comedy, It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, Backus played another Howl-like character, Tyler Fitzgerald, a boozy and rich airplane owner who briefly gets caught up in the race for the stolen money. Backus was perhaps best known as the voice of cartoon character Mr. Magoo. He reused some of the voice inflections and mannerisms of Magoo in the Howl role. He was well known for his ad-libs on the set. The character Howl was a Harvard graduate, a Republican, and a multi-billionaire until his losses in the Great Depression left him a multi-millionaire. Natalie Schaefer is Lovey Wentworth Howl, Thurston's wife, whom he affectionately called Lovey. Schaefer had it written into her contract that no close-ups would be made of her, but after a while in the series, it was forgotten. Schaefer was 63 when the pilot was shot, although reportedly no one on the set or in the cast knew her real age, and she refused to divulge it. Originally, she only accepted the role because the pilot was filmed on location in Hawaii. She looked at the job as nothing more than a free vacation, as she was convinced that a show this silly would never go. Tina Louise is Ginger Grant, the movie star. Louise clashed with producer Sherwood Schwartz because she believed that she was hired as the central character. Her character was originally written as a hard-nosed, sharp-tongued temptress, but Louise argued that this portrayal was too harsh and refused to play it as written. A compromise was reached. Louise agreed to play her as a Marilyn Monroe, Jane Mansfield type. Louise continued to clash with producers over her role and was the only cast member who refused to return for any of the post-series TV movies, saying that the role had killed her career as a serious actress. She did, however, appear in a reunion of the cast on a late-night television talk show in 1988 and on an episode of Roseanne in 1995 when the Roseanne cast reenacted Gilligan's Island. In the first season, Ginger often wore gowns that looked as if they were tailored from minnow, tarpaulins, or similar substitute cloth. Some had the name of the vessel stenciled on them. In the pilot episode, the character of Ginger, no last name, then a secretary, was played by actress Kit Smythe. Russell Johnson is Professor Roy Hinckley, Ph.D. Actor John Gabriel was originally cast, but the network thought he looked too young to have all the degrees attributed to the professor. Actually, the professor was in fact a high school science teacher, not a university professor. In the first episode, the radio announcer describes him as a research scientist and well-known scoutmaster. Johnson, who served as a bombardier in the Pacific during World War II, stated that he'd had some difficulty remembering his more technically oriented lines. Originally, he was not interested in the role and was waiting for a TV show of his own, but his agent talked him into auditioning. He had done previous movies like It Came from Outer Space, This Island Earth, and a classic western where he shot Ronald Reagan in the shoulder. Johnson's role in the series was spoofed in a Bloom County comic strip for the professor's technical expertise being unable to get the castaways off the island. This odd contradiction was played up in Weird Al Yankovic's parody song, Isle Thing, when the professor, who is brilliant enough to, quote, make a nuclear reactor from a couple of coconuts, cannot build a lousy raft, unquote. In his autobiography, Here on Gilligan's Isle, Russell Johnson admitted the professor indeed, for all his smarts, could not build a boat. But despite popular beliefs stated in the aforementioned Bloom County strip or the Weird Al parody song, firmly added, the professor also did not build a nuclear reactor from coconuts nor a satellite dish from clamshells. Don Wells is Marianne Summers. Wells was a former Miss Nevada when she auditioned for the role. Her competition included Raquel Welch and Pat Priest. The pilot episode had a different character, Bunny, played by actress Nancy McCarthy. After it was shot, the network decided to recast the roles of the professor and the two young women. Marianne became a simple farm girl from Winfield, Kansas. In 1993, Wells published Marianne's Gilligan's Island Cookbook with co-writers Ken Beck and Jim Clark, including a foreword by Bob Denver. In February 2007, she starred as Lovey Howell in Gilligan's Island, the musical, a musical stage adaptation of the TV show. The next sections are about the first episodes and the last episode. The pilot episode, titled Marooned, was filmed in November 1963. On November 22nd, the day of the assassination of John F. Kennedy, the crew continued to work after hearing the shocking news. The pilot featured seven characters, as in the series, but only four of the characters and their associated actors were carried forward into the series, those being Gilligan by Denver, the Skipper by Hale, and the two Howells by Backus and Schaefer. As it happens, only these four characters slash actors were featured in the opening theme song cast list used in the pilot, with the remaining three characters only mentioned as the other tourists, although the earlier part of the song gave brief descriptions of all passengers. Due to the three significant character and casting changes between the pilot episode and the first series episode, the pilot was not shown before the series first aired on September 26, 1964. The original pilot eventually aired over 29 years later on TBS, October 16, 1992. The three characters who did not carry forward from the pilot were two secretaries and a high school teacher. In the pilot, the scientifically inclined professor was instead a high school teacher, played by John Gabriel. Ginger the movie star was still red-haired Ginger, but worked as a secretary, played by Kit Smith. Mary Ann, the Kansas farm girl, was instead Bunny, Ginger's co-worker, played as a cheerful, dumb blonde by Nancy McCarthy. The pilot's opening and ending songs were two similar calypso-style tracks written by John Williams and performed by Sherwood Schwartz, impersonating singer Sir Lancelot. The lyrics of both were quite different from those of the TV series, and the pilot's opening theme song was longer. The short scenes during this initial music include Gilligan taking the Howells' luggage to the boat before cast off, and Gilligan attempting to give a cup of coffee to the skipper during the storm that would ultimately maroon the boat. After the opening theme song and credits end, the pilot proper begins with the seven castaways waking up on the beached SS Minnow and continues with them performing various tasks, including exploring the island, attempting to fix the transmitter, building huts, and finding food. Contrary to some descriptions, the pilot storylines contain no detailed accounts of the pilot characters' backgrounds. The pilot concludes with the ending theme song and credits. The background music and even the laugh tracks of the pilot appear all but identical to those used during the series. The first episode actually broadcast, Two on a Raft, is sometimes wrongly referred to as the series pilot. This episode begins with the same scene of Gilligan and the skipper awakening on the boat as in the pilot, though slightly different cut to eliminate most shots of the departed actors, and continues with the characters sitting on the beach listening to a radio news report about their disappearance. No equivalent scene or background information is in the pilot, except for the description of the passengers in the original theme song. Rather than reshooting the rest of the pilot story for broadcast, the show just proceeded on. The plot thus skips over the topics of the pilot. The bulk of the episode tells of Gilligan and the skipper setting off on a raft to try to bring help, but unknowingly landing back on the other side of the same island. The scene with the radio report is one of two scenes that reveal the names of the skipper, Jonas Grumby, and the professor, Roy Hinckley. The names are used in a similar radio report early in the series. The name Jonas Grumby appears nowhere else in the series except for an episode in which the Maritime Board of Review blames the skipper for the loss of the ship. The name Roy Hinckley is used one other time when Mr. Howell introduces the professor as Roy Huntley, and the professor corrects him, to which Mr. Howell replies, "Brinkley, Brinkley." The plot for the pilot episode was eventually recycled into that season's Christmas episode, "Birds Gotta Fly, Fish Gotta Talk," in which the story of the pilot episode concerning the practical problems on landing is related through a series of flashbacks. Footage featuring characters that had been recast was reshot using the current actors. For scenes including only Denver, Hale, Backus, and Schaefer, the original footage was reused. The last episode of the show, Gilligan the Goddess, aired on April 17th, 1967, and ended just like the rest, with the castaways still stranded on the island. It was not known at the time that it would be the series finale, as a fourth season was expected, but then canceled. The last section is about typical plots and themes of the series. The shipwrecked castaways desperately want to leave the remote island, and various opportunities are frequently presenting themselves. They typically fail owing to some bumbling error committed by Gilligan, with the notable exception of the Big Gold Strike, where everyone except Gilligan is responsible for their failed escape. Sometimes, this would result in Gilligan saving the others from some unforeseen flaw in their plan. Recurring elements center on one of five primary themes. The first theme deals with life on the island. A running gag is the castaway's ability to fashion a vast array of useful objects from bamboo and other local material. Some are simple everyday things, while others are stretches of the imagination. Russell Johnson noted in his autobiography that the production crew enjoyed the challenge of building these props. Some bamboo items include framed huts with thatched grass sides and roofs, along with bamboo closets strong enough to withstand hurricane force winds and rain, the communal dining table and chairs, pipes for Gilligan's hot water, a stethoscope, and a pedal-powered car. Many scenes occur at the dining table, where the castaways enjoy a large number of dishes that Ginger and Marianne prepare, while the radio provides news and entertainment. Gilligan and Skipper often catch fish, and the island has citrus trees to avoid scurvy, and a good supply of fresh water to drink, and to prepare tropical drinks. Naturally, despite their obvious skill and inventiveness, the castaways never quite managed to put together a functional raft out of bamboo, or repair the holes in the minnow, though the entire ship fell apart in the 8th episode, Goodbye Island. In the television movie, Rescue from Gilligan's Island, the castaways tie all their huts together and use that as a raft for escape. The second theme involves visitors to the uncharted island. One challenge to a viewer's suspension of disbelief is the remarkable frequency with which the island is visited by an assortment of people who repeatedly fail to assist the castaways in leaving the island. Some have hidden motives for not aiding the castaways. Others are simply unable to help, are incompetent, or are foiled in their efforts to help by Gilligan's bumbling. Gilligan, Ginger, and Mr. Howell each had feature episodes in which lookalikes visit the island, who were, of course, played by the actors in dual roles. The island itself is also home to an unusual assortment of animal life, some native, some visiting. The third recurring theme is the use of dream sequences, in which one of the castaways dreams he or she is some character related to that week's storyline. All of the castaways appeared as other characters within the dream. In later interviews and memoirs, nearly all of the actors stated that the dream episodes were among their personal favorites. The fourth recurring theme is a piece of news concerning the castaways arriving from the outside world that causes discord among them. Then a second piece of news arrives that says the first was incorrect. An exception to the latter part of the statement is the episode, The Postman Cometh, where Gilligan and the skipper hear over the radio that Marianne's boyfriend eloped, and the three single men try to cheer her up by wooing her. Marianne actually lied about having a boyfriend, and she created a romance with a real creep so that the others would think she had someone waiting for her back home. The fifth and last recurring theme is the appearance or arrival of strange objects, like a World War II mine, a crate of radioactive vegetable seeds, or a Mars rover that the scientists back in the USA think is sending them pictures of Mars. And in one episode, a meteorite. I hope you are deeply relaxed, or even better, deeply asleep. Good night. Sleep well.